Looking for a job isn't easy. It used to be that you could apply at a big name tech company and build a great career for yourself. But times have changed. Many of these companies have gone full woke. And if you aren't the right gender, ethnicity, you don't use pronouns, or if you're not an activist for the preferred cause, then good luck. Why would you risk your career on that? At Red Balloon, we're connecting good employees with top quality companies that value you for your skills and your work ethic, not your social activism score. Employers who post jobs on Red Balloon are focused on creating an enjoyable and productive work culture, free from divisive woke mandates. So if you want to find a serious career path without the nonsense, come to Red Balloon and post your resume today. Because you shouldn't have to choose between your job and your values. That's redballoon.work, where you can find your future.
I think it's an incumbent upon churches today to be applying the word to the cultural issues that are around us, and then showing how Christ and his coming bring salvation and judgment, and how that all plays out in its intricacies. And I think people, they want to hear that.
Hey everybody, Michael Thiessen here, and we're gonna get right into our conversation today with Pastor Tim Stevens. Tim, thanks for coming on the show. You've got a lot to tell us about. It's great to catch up with you right now.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Mike.
So Tim, I've been trying to get you on for the last few weeks, and you've been down in the US a little bit doing some studying. How are your studies going? And what are you studying these days?
Well, I'm actually in the midst of doing my Doctor of Ministry down at the Master's Seminary, studying under Steve Lawson, Dr. Steve Lawson, and emphasizing on expository preaching. This hope to improve my ability to articulate the word with clarity and conviction so the church might be built up and sinners might be saved.
That's fantastic. I've sat under your preaching and your teaching, and so, man, if you get any better, that's going to bode very, very well for Albertans, because I've always appreciated the way that you handle the word, even in dialogue. So thanks. I'm glad you're doing that. Tim, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about some developments in your personal life? Everybody who's listening, Tim is one of those faithful pastors in Canada who actually one of the two who was imprisoned for his faithfulness to the Lord in keeping his church open. Tim, now I think most Canadians are feeling, okay, the pressure's off. You know, we're seeing charges being dropped from many pastors all across the country. Tell us about the legal developments in your life.
Yeah, so after all the dust settled, after the COVID era, I think I had about 7 court summons or charges against me, and obviously went to jail a couple times. I spent 3 weeks in jail. And so the legal process after that, a number of those charges ended up going away. They just didn't have sufficient evidence. I told my lawyer wasn't interested in making any kind of deal. So they just didn't have the proper evidence to go forward in any of those other convictions. But then there was 2 ended up going to court over physical distancing, but ended up winning those in court and being declared not guilty, which was a great victory. And it was good to be able to interact with the judge and just explain what we were doing and why. There's still one more charge outstanding against our church for being open during the lockdowns, but that's currently waiting for a constitutional challenge that is still going on here in Alberta, waiting for a decision on that. And then what we've also done more recently is file a charter damages case for myself for my imprisonments, and just arguing that they were actually unlawful. There was a number of things that they fumbled on their side when they tried to essentially get us to comply at all costs. And so we're seeking to hold our government to account through this legal action.
So, Tim, a few thoughts come to my mind immediately as you share about that. I think that's been many of our desires throughout this entire journey. I love it how we're calling it the COVID era now. It feels like it's just around the corner, another era. But this idea of holding the government account, the church's role in doing that, really confuses a lot of Christians. I think most of my listeners who have been journeying with us through this have a pretty fair understanding of what's going on. But there's three questions that come to mind. So I'll just ask them out, and then hopefully we'll remember them after you answer the first one. So first of all, what does this have to do with the gospel? You're a church. Are we not supposed to be about the gospel? What does this have to do about the gospel? Number two, it seems like that's throwing fuel on the fire. And so what does that do for making the people of your city like or despise your church more? And is that not creating an artificial barrier of entrance, something like that? And then the other third thing would be, you know, in the same way that we saw Romans 13 used so dogmatically, I would think that in a situation like this, I'd start hearing other Christians say, well, Tim, that doesn't sound like turning the other cheek. You know, we're instructed that if we're to go a mile, we should go two. So let's try to, if you can try to help our listeners understand your process through that, because I think it's going to be very helpful for them. So what does what you're having to do have to do with the gospel?
Mm-hmm. And that's a good question. I guess the assumption is if it's not specifically a gospel issue, then it's not really an issue worth pursuing. Obviously, the gospel about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the center of everything we do, but it ends up connecting everything that we do. And so we understand matters of justice, matters of proper hierarchy in our homes or in society are all connected to the gospel. They're not explicitly the gospel, but yet they're all connected and dependent upon the gospel. And because Jesus Christ has come to bring salvation, his salvation includes, as a fruit of it, a right ordering of our life. And so we see clearly through the word of God how the world ought to be, and we're seeking to be sanctified as individuals, and we're seeking to be salt and light in the world around us, to live like a Christian in this life. And so part of living as a Christian in this life is to speak up when your neighbor is being afflicted, is to say, hey, that's an injustice, that's wrong. And especially to do so as leaders, like as a church pastor or as a church, to speak to our governing authorities and say, this is a standard that God holds you to. And so it might not be explicitly a gospel issue, but it's the Lordship of Christ issue. They will answer to King Jesus. And so they ought to know what Jesus says about their role as government officials. And so it's important for us to say, hey, that's not right. That's actually an injustice. You're not only violating Jesus' commands, but you're violating the same laws that you are agreeing to hold yourself to in our democratic country. So I think it's a righteousness issue, and it's a Christian issue that we ought to be concerned about. And your second question having to do about this, the witness that we have in our world today, and yeah, there'll be a number of people who will misunderstand, you know, our actions as a Christian, but yet ultimately our witness is before God. He knows our heart. He knows the reasons why we do these things. And it's ultimately for him whom we want to please. And there are a number of people in our city who are, again, are not Christians, who will appreciate what we do in holding the government to account, because we have business owners. We have families who have been utterly destroyed by COVID lockdowns. And so they've been looking to the church. They've been looking to people of integrity to say, aren't you going to say something? Aren't you going to do something? And so this is a way for us to speak back and to use the legal system of our country, which has the facility to say, hey, that was wrong what you did, to use those means in holding our government to account. And your last question about turning the other cheek, I think that one's an easy one, because this is not an action taken because I've been personally harmed, or I have a personal grievance or vendetta, or I'm seeking to somehow carry out revenge against those who did some kind of perpetration against me. But my motive is for truth and for justice, for a rightly ordered society, for a government that is accountable to its laws, to a society that is accountable to its own constitution and charter. And so that's the reason why we as Christians are concerned about matters of justice. It's not for us seeking some kind of revenge, but wanting the Lord's will to be done here on earth as is in heaven.
Our federal government's response to economic difficulties is to print money until it's worthless, driving up the cost of everything, essentially stealing from your hard-earned pay. What you need is to take control of your own resources and to be responsible for your own money, which is your responsibility. Bull Bitcoin wants to help you do just that. Bull Bitcoin is 100% self-funded, freedom-minded Canadian Bitcoin exchange that wants to protect your financial freedom and help you protect your resources. If you're at all aware of what's going on in our country, you should seriously consider connecting with my friends over at Bull Bitcoin and buying at least some Bitcoin today. Sign up at mission.bullbitcoin.com/LCC. That's mission.bullbitcoin.com/LCC, and have all of your questions answered. That's mission.bullbitcoin.com/LCC. Thanks everyone for supporting them. I want to start on the last part there about turning the other cheek, you know, and the obvious thing, Tim, is you actually did literally do that in the sense of you were instructed to go another mile. You were instructed to go to jail. You were for a time incarcerated in a maximum security prison without revolt and without insult. We all watched your arrest. And so I think Christians, again, have a difficulty thinking about the real world and looking at you and going, oh, you know what? He actually did turn the other cheek. He actually did everything peaceably to adhere to his sentence for his beliefs. The second thing I want to go back to about helping or hurting the witness, you know, I'm thinking about there's a new movie that just came out, Jesus People movie, about a revival in California. I don't know if you're aware of it. It's about Chapel Hill, and it's out in the US right now. My wife and I are in Kentucky, and so we just went and listened to that, watched that movie last night. But this is a very random example, but Kelsey Grammer, who is an actor, was asked, you know, what was it like playing in this Christian movie? And his response was, I had never read or heard anything about Christ in the past. Now, that's his testimony or whatever. But when it comes to witnessing, I wonder how many of these judges are hearing the gospel outside of their courtroom, other than in the time when you stand before them and say, you're going to have to give account to King Jesus for your actions. And so Christians misunderstand the holding of the account of the government, which we want to get back to, as a non-gospel issue, but they just don't realize that this is literally a gospel opportunity to reach people that may never be reached. I'm trying to find the passage in scripture. I know it's around Matthew 10, but the passage in scripture where we talk about, you know, being dragged off into court to give an answer, like this is literally, a gospel opportunity and witness. And then the third thing, just the connection to that about keeping our authorities, you know, in Psalm chapter 2, in verse 10, it's like, therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you. And there's been this forgotten instruction in the church, this forgotten role of the church to actually warn rulers to do their ruling in the way that the Lord would want them to. So on one hand, you have the church getting very excited about Romans 13 that says submit to authorities, and completely forgetting any context and ignoring any limitations to that, which are clear in the text. And then on the other hand, you have, yeah, you're supposed to submit. And then there's a complete dismissal of, you're also supposed to warn them specifically to rule in a way that would be pleasing to the Lord. And so I think that you've well answered those three questions. And those are the thoughts that came to my mind as I was listening to your answer. You know, this is a real opportunity. Is this the type of case that, Tim, you need to raise money for? Is this the type of case that you're working with certain lawyers who have asked you, hey, if you can raise money for this case, Tim, would you please do so? And I'd like to give you an opportunity to do that right now. Tim?
Yeah. Yeah, well, we're hoping to win so that the government actually pays the legal fees along with this.
Absolutely.
But this case is being run by the Justice Center and their advocacy group that's working under them. And so just a number of great guys work in that, and ladies too, work in that organization. So if any of your listeners do want to help out for this legal action, then directing funds toward the Justice Center is just a great way to do that and to continue advocacy, not only for my particular issue, but for a whole host of constitutional challenges.
Wouldn't it be totally awesome if it could be like an investment portfolio, like donate to this, and then if the government has to pay you back, you get an increase on your... I know it's not that convenient. I know that things slant towards the favoritism of the government where we couldn't do that, but man, that would be an opportunity for people to get behind this. And it is an opportunity. So folks, go out and support the Justice Center if you want to help Pastor Tim and their church. Tim, you said you hope to win.
Yeah,
that is a really cool thing that you hope to win. But you and I have been watching another story in Ontario that makes the hope for winning a challenging hope. And that would be the Trinity Bible Chapel appeal to Ontario's highest court. So for those of you who are listening, the Justice Center has also been representing Trinity Bible Chapel, and they have... they have been appealing a decision that was made earlier about charges, and the appeal was that the charges were unconstitutional. And so the church was taking the government to court in trying to appeal that decision. And the Ontario Court of Appeal has just argued that it's dismissed the arguments for this being a constitutional violation. And so this court agreed. There was no dissension. They agreed with Superior Court Justice Renee Pomerantz, and they agreed that the restrictions, the temporary laws, were reasonably and demonstrably justified in the face of an unprecedented public health crisis. So Tim, we're hoping that you guys win, but how do we have hope when we see again, not ultimate hope. We have hope in Christ. I hope our listeners will hear that clearly all the way through, but what are your comments towards this, this situation with Trinity Bible Chapel?
I think what we see in Jacob's case is it really depends on the judges that you get. I think COVID, what we've seen, is a worldview issue. It's not just well, it's a very political issue, but it's a political issue that's determined by your worldview. And so the second section of the charter, which protects our most fundamental rights, freedom of expression and assembly and of religion, is superseded by the first section, which allows the government to essentially remove those rights. And what they say can, if the government can demonstrably justify those rights ought to be taken away, which makes the government essentially the arbiter of when you have rights and when you don't, according to their own ideas. And of course, when we think about COVID-19, you and I would be absolutely convinced that there is this insufficient data to lock down entire society, to shut down churches. But for so many, it's an ideological issue. It's not an issue of fact. There's no, a threshold that you could argue for. It's just the opinions of judges. And so when we see our society, not only just unchristian, but anti-Christian in their worldview, it's consistent with more government control and the fact that really our rights are given to us or taken away based on what the government sees as reasonable, which ought to scare so many of us that we have that section in our charter, which because of the first section, every other section is pretty much meaningless at that point.
Yeah. And I think that, as we look at this Trinity case, and of course we know that the Church of God was a part of that appeal, and they're two very separate and different churches, but this is a ruling against two congregations in the sense of not just the attack on one, but the attack on other religious freedoms. There's been complete deference to the government. So agreeing with this decision that the evidence was justifiable, was demonstrable, I just want to remind our listeners, if you go to libertycoalitioncanada.com and you go to the Liberty Defense Fund and you go to Dr. Wall's case, you can go on there and you can read thousands upon thousands of words of expert witness, and you can actually put together the witnesses that were presented from the defense versus the prosecution, and you can see the evidence clearly lands with those who are defending Dr. Wall, those of us who are defending him, and yet there's deference in these situations, according to the judge, given to the government. And so of course the government let the government off of the situation, and that bodes very ill for Canadians. Now, Tim, you're out in Alberta. It seems like you're having more success in Alberta courts than in Ontario courts, for which I'm sure you're thankful. Can you kind of let our listeners from the East know just some of the success that's been going on out in Alberta? Should they be moving out to Alberta to join you? Some feel called to Ontario. There's a few of us migrating down to Kentucky. Is Alberta a good freedom spot for people to flock? What are your thoughts about Alberta in general going forward?
Yeah, well, there's been a number of positive things that have happened in the legal system, both for myself. And then also many of your listeners will be aware of Artur Pawlowski and his brother and some of the trouble that they've got in. And as they've moved up the appeals court, they've actually won in the appeals court here in Alberta. And so that's a positive sign. And so there are still a number of justices that recognize that our charter is actually supposed to protect the citizens from the government. And that's its function, and are upholding that. And of course, there's a swing politically when our province ousted a conservative premier in Jason Kenney to opt for someone who is more friendly to you know, the Stand for Freedom, for the trucker convoy, for churches that are open in Danielle Smith, who is now our current premier. And so we've seen people move to our city and join our congregation from Ontario, and even from places elsewhere in the world, overseas, have come to Calgary and have come to be part of our fellowship. And I would encourage that. Alberta is still, especially compared to Ontario, a much more conservative, freedom-loving place. And I do think we have something worth fighting for here in Canada, and that there's a need for us to join together to see strongholds being built up across our nation around good, healthy churches, good movements in education for our children, such that in the coming generation we'll be well equipped to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the gospel in this country. And so I think Alberta is still, of all the places to live in Canada, still the best in terms of freedom, in terms of education, choices for your children, all that kind of stuff.
It's great that you're starting to see some of those appeal courts uphold the Constitution. That is exciting. And I really pray the Lord's favor upon you and your church as you go ahead. And this, of course, pushes... When you stand in this gap, it really does defend your neighbor, which is one of the most troubling things that we saw throughout the last 3 years, is that how poorly defined love of thy neighbor really was, and how it was almost used for a weapon of just do whatever the mob says, which we know is, you know, virtually never the right thing, even from just a creational standpoint, not even a specific revelation that we can find in scripture. You know, the odds of 100 people screaming and running in one direction and you going, wait, let's look where we're going. No, we're not looking where we're going. Okay, well, I don't mind running with you if there's a real danger, but can we look where we're going? No, we're not going to look. Okay, the odds of the 100 being right are zero. So we know that. Okay, so on to that, where we're now trying to train, we're now trying to equip, we're trying to lead. I want to be, you know, upfront with our with my listeners. I've made the decision to do some of those things down here in Kentucky, and yet I really appreciate all of you guys who are staying in Canada and in Alberta doing what you're doing. But wherever we're going, we're attempting to lead, we're attempting to affect, Tim, as you said, we're trying to affect, the church's influence into the next generation through education. I'm going to be speaking out at AHEA, the homeschooling convention in May. I'm really looking forward to being out there with you guys. We're trying to, engage in politics, all these different things. And Tim, I know that you guys have got something planned for this coming fall, and it's only March 2nd, but the fall conference calendar is already starting to fill. So I want to give you an opportunity to share about the conference that your church is holding in the fall. And I'm very grateful for you guys to be continuing to hold this type of event. So why don't you describe your conference for everybody, and we'll give you an opportunity to share that now.
Yeah. Well, I was so encouraged last November to be at Waterloo at Trinity Bible Chapel for their Church at War conference, and just to see the number of churches and pastors and participants there represented as the gospel was preached. And so I had a desire after that weekend to say, hey, we need to do this out in Western Canada, because as you know, going north-south is much easier than going east-west. And so there's a number of brothers out here in Western Canada. And so just began to talk about that. And of course, some of the same cast of characters with Jacob Rayom at Trinity, Steve Richardson, with James Coates and myself, and then inviting to come up to Calgary, Steve Lawson, again, as I mentioned, doing my doctoral studies under, and then Justin Peters. And both of those men, you know, high profile ministries in the United States, and very supportive of what happened in Canada with James and myself, with others undergoing pressure for leaving our churches open. And so this is a way for us to thank these brothers and to encourage the other churches here in Western Canada by having, you know, a weekend or the end of the week just devoted to good preaching, fellowship, and community. And I think what we see develop around conferences in our day and our time, you know, because I think the age of denominations have ceased. The sun has set on denominations. But what we do see is a number of conferences, whether that's, you know, Ligonier or Shepherd's Conference or, you know, T4G or Gospel Coalition. These conferences have been hubs for networking, for discipleship, for encouragement, for seeing a younger generation of pastors grow up and have some role models in ministry. And so it is my aim and my desire to see that happening more effectively in Canada. So rather than us always going down to the States for conferences, but to have some really great conferences happening in Canada. And it so turns out that the timing works that we're able to do this in October because our church has grown so much that we've outgrown our old facility. And so we're in the process of purchasing a former United Church. And so the rainbow banners are going to come down and we're going to go and preach the gospel from that pulpit. And so we're hoping to transition at the end of May. We got a little bit of, you know, we're praying for the Lord to provide the last little bit for that. But we're going to move in, God willing, at the end of May. And that will then provide us a larger facility to be able to host a conference where I still expect it to sell out very quickly. And so if your listeners are interested in coming to that, you know, you can go to kingandkingdom.ca to get aware of notifications and when registration is going to open. But, you know, I expect that to fill up even very quickly, even with our larger facility.
Hey, friends, I'm happy to talk to you again about RockLink Investment Partners. With inflation at 40-year highs and economic stagflation on the horizon, growing and preserving your hard-earned capital is of utmost importance. I know it's on my mind. And that's why RockLink Investment Partners are so essential, because they understand the investment challenges of today. RockLink is an independent investment management firm focused solely on creating portfolios of high-quality businesses anchored to the time-tested principles of value investing, and they do not shy away from essential businesses that do not meet the World Economics Forum's definition of ESG. So email RockLink at info@rocklink.com, that's RockLink with a C, or visit them at www.rocklink.com, and again, that's Link with a C. Just want to encourage you, I really hope that this becomes a bit of a pattern. I hope that the Church of War Conference in Ontario becomes maybe, you know, a biannual event with this type of conference, the King and His Kingdom Conference, because I agree with you. I think actually what's happened during COVID is the lines of the border when it comes to thought and when it comes to experience have actually crumbled a little bit. And I think merging with Americans more and more, we can make a joke back to the time when we were discouraged from doing that. But I think there is a great opportunity right now because of, you know, is the connections that you're making and the connections that many of us are making to be helping the Church of North America, because I think it's very positive when Americans come up and see strength in Canada, but more importantly, see strength in Canada in the context of the Canadian climate. Like, let me remind our listeners that when Tim Stevens just said the rainbow flags will go down, when you're holding a preaching conference, when we're partnered with guys from Master's Seminary to hold Biblical Sexuality Sunday type of annual events, when we're holding conferences like this, the preaching of the word is literally going to, at points, conflict with Canadian law. So now you have these guys coming up from the US where they can almost not imagine what it's like for what the Canadian church has been going through in the last 2 years with all of the incoming Bill C-4 and those types of things, where they, when they come up and they participate, you know, politically, maybe the libs aren't ready federally to imprison more pastors over what they've done, but they're getting ready to. And that's exactly what the nature of these bills that call the creational norms, the call the created order of God myth. So Tim, I just think it's great that you're inviting some American guys up. And for those listeners who are on the West Coast, who are living in the States, you know, my podcast is one of those places where we are trying to blur the lines effectively to help one another and to help continue to grow. And so, you know, make sure that you book your time to come up in Canada and be a part of some, hear some great experiences and great expository preaching. It was a blessing. The Church of War Conference was such a blessing. I expect that this will be a great one as well, Tim. So thank you for hosting it. And we'll help you promote it. And we hope that, you know, many people will go and be encouraged by it. On that note, let's just ask a loaded question, which may not have a positive answer. And that is this: are you sensing that we are preaching to the same old choir, or that there has been some expanding influence going on in the church? Of course, your church has grown, Tim. That's praise the Lord. But are you seeing out in Alberta a greater awareness of the actual situation before the church?
Yeah, I think what we'll see at this conference is we'll see a number of pastors or churches representative in attendance that might not have been locked arms with us a few years ago. I think there's been a shifting sense of attitude, and there's been, you know, just more than a COVID fatigue. But, you know, even as we have outlets like the New York Times, you know, questioning the efficacy of masks, it seems more and more of what we've been saying from the very beginning is being more readily accepted in the population at large. And so that's certainly true within the churches in our area. And I think what we also see is a growing demographic in Canada of people who have been so harmed by the government and by a progressive ideology, and they're turning to men like Jordan Peterson or Matt Walsh or Ben Shapiro, and not seeking God, but seeking some semblance of truth in a world that's turned upside down. And I think that there are many like that in Canada that are open to hear the gospel that would essentially are more prepared to hear about a transcendent God and the Lord Jesus Christ and then how that impacts all of life and what it means for them as men and women in their households. So I do see, it's not a revival, but I do see reform certainly taking place at multiple levels in our society here in Canada. And it is encouraging, because it's just not our church that was open through COVID that is growing and thriving, but even churches in our area that, you know, took a different stand during COVID, they're also growing. I think as progressive ideology gets more and more ludicrous, you know, as transgenderism continues to press its way into all facets of life, there's enough people with a shred of common sense that are going to say, I want to find answers somewhere else. And they're going to want to hear clarity and conviction and truth from the pulpits in churches. And if we can just get our spine, stop being put into a state of fear by leftist ideologists and speak the truth and speak it in love, man, I think we're on the cusp of seeing God do a tremendous work in our country.
One of the things I was thinking as you were talking there, Tim, was when you referenced Matt Walsh and Jordan Peterson and Ben Shapiro. I think Peterson is the most inconsistent of all of them. And what I mean by that is when you listen to Ben Shapiro, he is presenting a worldview from an Orthodox Jew who would share, other than the key stumbling block and the rejecting of the cornerstone, which of course we wish that our Jewish friends would turn to Christ and see everything come together. Shapiro integrates his Christian worldview, his Orthodox Jewish worldview, all throughout his political commentary. They're not separated. It's not this age old dualism. I think that's an area where the Daily Wire, along with Walsh and guys like Michael Knowles, have been helpful in not the age old evangelical bait and switch. You know, we'll put on a play and it will be about fun and dessert, and then once you're here about fun and dessert, we'll tell you about Jesus. And in their political warfare, they're integrating their worldviews. And then Peterson comes along and he sure seems like he's close to the kingdom, like in the sense of where he's at least robbing from Christianity so often that maybe he's legitimately wrestling with coming to salvation, with coming to Christ. And that would be a wonderful thing. And so I agree with you that there is a greater appetite for individuals to see that there's that worldviews have to be consistent. And when the progressive worldview shows its teeth, it literally means a bunch of pedophiles training children how to be overly sexualized while they dress up in, pretend to be women and try to get in into their bathrooms. And so there's this kind of peeling back of, you know, that first level of veneer or the first level of a piece of plywood to say, well, like the plywood has layers, but the layers have to be congruent, and maybe the shiny part on the top looks okay because it's presented way over here. But when you start just kind of taking that plywood up, rather than like a solid piece of oak, you know? And so I hope that is the case and it's needed. And the great hope that I have is that pastors realize it, because like you and I have experienced part of the major issue, and we really hope that they come around to this, is that the church is not awakened to how dualistic it is, to how kind of sacred secular mindset they are. And if the church would reintegrate Christ and his thoughts, as in Colossians 2, into all of these debates and conversations, then we could very well see, you know, a hungry generation, perverse and dark generation, but a hungry generation turn to Christ.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's an incumbent upon churches today to be applying the word to the cultural issues that are around us, and then showing how Christ and his coming brings salvation and judgment, and how that all plays out in its intricacies. And I think people, they want to hear that. No one is speaking much about that today, and that's why these men like Jordan Peterson and others are so incredibly popular, is because they're looking for someone who's just going to speak the truth. And not always try to dodge and avoid. I think the church is not only dualistic, but has been so so effeminate and unwilling to stand and be courageous and to speak truth when it's unpopular, knowing that it's unpopular to some, but the truth is life. It will bring goodness. It will bring flourishing, and it will bring fruit. And so we must trust the truth. And speaking the truth above what would be the perceived consequences of saying that in our progressive city.
1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligent, the intelligence of the intelligence I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is a scholar? Where is the philosopher of the age? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him. God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And that is what we believe. And so thank you for articulating that. Folks, if you go out there, sometimes if you take a public witness, you're going to have people who think you're foolish. But for those who are being saved, for those who are being called by God, it is truth. And what a privilege it is to accept Christ and live in that truth. So Tim, I'm thankful for the man that you are, because even when you say effeminate, I kind of want to joke around and say, how dare you grow a beard and talk about masculinity, you terrible man. That we've got to deal with these issues. And if we deal with these issues, then we are returning back to proclaiming Christ. So Tim, thanks so much for being on again. Everybody, please listen, share this video, give it a 5-star rating. And we want to continue to promote these good causes. Tim, again, what's the website of the conference?
Kingandkingdom.ca.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. Godspeed.